You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new week, a new edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina. I write for The Athletic, Inside Football, Big Blue View, Forbes, and a bunch of other places. Sometimes even I can't keep track of them all. And I am joined as always by my co-host Ed Valentine, editor of Big Blue View. And Edward, we are now about 10 days away from the official start of training camp.
T-minus 10 and counting, Patty. We are almost ready for real Giants football. Last week of the offseason, last full week without football. And you and I have been in summer mode for a while. We still have quite a bit to get to in terms of previewing the Giants, you know, before camp starts.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue today with our position-by-position preview. We've been focusing on the offensive side of the ball, and today we are going to move to the quote-unquote elephant in the room, and that, of course, would be the dancing elephants or the offensive line. So, Ed, without any further delay, let's jump right into it, talk about the offensive line, let's start off, and if you don't mind, I'll start off here. One of the things that kind of struck me as I was writing a preview for The Athletic about the offensive line is that for the first time since 2015, the Giants are going to have a different face at each starting position than they did the previous year's opening day. That's pretty scary.
Yes, it is. You know, it's very interesting. And by the way, Patty, I have to say, you left the hog mollies phrase for me.
You left me
to use it. So thank you for that. I get to
be the
first one to drop a hog mollies. All right.
Go for it.
All right. So, you know, it is interesting, and, you know, your preview on the offensive line at The Athletic posted on Monday, and our timing here is really good because on Big Blue View on Tuesday is my position preview looking at the offensive line. And the big question with the offensive line, you know, Dave Gettleman was adamant, very honest in his very first press conference as GM. You know, he was very adamant that he had to fix the offensive line. He said, let's not kid ourselves here. We have to do that. This offensive line is different. As you said, four brand new faces and the former left tackle now playing right tackle. So no one as a week one starter who was in the spot where they were a year ago. So it's very different. You know, the question we won't be able to answer until the regular season games start is whether or not it's going to be better. If you're like me, Patty, then you believe that it will be better. I think it should be better. And I think talent plus the type of people they have is a big reason for that. But, you know, but obviously we have to see them prove it in games.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I broke down the projected starting offensive line, the one thing that kind of jumped out at me is every single one of those guys is, for the most part, better at run blocking than pass blocking. They've not to say that, you know, they're bad pass blockers, but they really put an emphasis on getting guys who can block for the running game, which if you go back to what Dave Gettleman said when he was hired, what are the three things, the three ingredients to any winning football program? One of which, run the ball. And that is something the Giants have not been able to do with any type of consistency going back to, I believe, 2012 when they had their last 1,000-yard rusher, Ahmad Bradshaw. So I just found that very interesting that they didn't just, you know, haphazardly pick guys, you know, just to, you know, to staff that running, that offensive line. They pick guys who are good at run blocking. Now, the pass protection, obviously that's something we're going to have to watch and see how that develops. The guys they have there are not bad. You know, Nate Solder for years blocked for Tom Brady's blindside and was fairly good at it. My concern with the offensive line, if I'm being totally honest with you, is once again on that right side, because you have two guys, Patrick Omame and Eric Flowers, who have not had a lot, if any, experience playing on the right side. And that's going to take some getting used to. So I'm curious to see how that plays out for them.
But you're absolutely right, you know, about the right side, Patty. And the pass protection issue, I look at it this way. Just like on defense, it's a whole lot easier to rush the passer when you defend the run and put teams in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, it's a whole lot easier to pass protect if you can run the football and get yourself in 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 2, rather than so many of the 3rd and 12s and 3rd and 10s, and you know, two runs that went backwards for a yard that the Giants have had the last couple of years. Your pass protection simply doesn't have to hold up that long, especially when you have a quality tight end who can run you a short route and a quality running back, you know, coming out of the backfield like Saquon Barkley. So I think, you know, improving the run blocking, putting yourself in better situations on offense, I think offenses use the phrase staying on time, staying on schedule. Being able to do that helps the pass protection all by itself.
For sure, Ed. And Ed, before we continue onward in our review of the offensive line, we have a new sponsor that we want to tell folks about.
Yes, Patty, let's do that. This episode is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you'll ever own. What makes the Core track belts so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size fluctuates in and out just a little at a time. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches, with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double stitched with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces made using solid stainless steel or high-grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full 1-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're going to love it and want to get rid of all of your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more and to get your own Core track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go Core track, you'll never go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code LOCKEDON to save 10% off your order.
All right. Thanks to Core Essentials. Welcome on board. You are listening to Locked On Giants, and Ed and I are talking about the Giants offensive line. And Ed, you know, just going back to the projected new starters, you know, one position that isn't quite yet settled that I think we need to talk about a little bit more is at center, where I think everybody was kind of surprised when we showed up in the spring and we saw that John Halapio was rotating with Brett Jones at center. And in fact, I think towards the end of the spring, or as the spring wore on, Jalapio took most of the snaps at center. And I just found that to be, you know, one of those, wow, I wasn't expecting that type of, you know, that type of situation. What have been your thoughts about, you know, them bringing in Jalapio? Does that surprise you? Or do you, are you just not reading much into it at this time?
Honestly, Patty, I'm very surprised by what we saw in the spring with Jalapio, you know, during mandatory minicamp, I think taking all of the first team reps. You know, when you change coaching staffs, you never know exactly what kind of a player, you know, the new coaching staff is looking for. I remember offensive line coach Hal Hunter being asked about Brett Jones, you know, when he spoke to the media before the start of OTAs at the, I think it was at the Meet the Coaches thing that the Giants held, you know, before the season started. And he said he wanted to wait and see Jones on the field before he made any judgments. So it's hard to know how this coaching staff feels about Brett Jones. But you look at Jones, and I really thought Brett Jones was the reason why the Giants didn't really bid aggressively to keep Weston Richburg. When the Giants drafted Weston Richburg, I was a big fan of that move. I thought Richburg was a terrific college player. I was glad the Giants were able to get him. I thought he was a good player for the Giants. But he was a player that was going to cost the Giants a lot of money. I think his contract with San Francisco is $45 million or $47 million with maybe $16 or so million guaranteed. I don't have it exactly in front of me. But I know Brett Jones is costing the Giants $2.91 million and some change for 2018. And I thought that Brett Jones is a good player who could handle that job, you know, for a significantly lower salary, you know, which obviously allowed the Giants to do something like sign Nate Solder. So I'm very surprised, to be honest with you, that it's not necessarily a lock that Brett Jones will be the starting center.
Well, you got to remember, Ed, Pat Shurmur on the last day of minicamp cautioned us and said, don't read into, you know, depth charts or anything. We haven't finalized any depth charts. We're still trying guys out. And, you know, I look at it this way with the center position. Whoever ends up not winning that starting job, you know, is going to be the first guy off the bench if there is an injury at guard or center, because obviously Brett Jones and John Jalapio can both play guard and center. And I think right off the bat, they're that much better in terms of depth, because they got guys now who are more flexible, who are a little bit more proven. You know, last year, you know, Brett Jones was reserve. He stepped in, did pretty well. But their depth last year on the offensive line really, you know, it was nerve-wracking. You know, you had DJ Fluker, who was strictly a guard, and he played well. But I think you have more guys now who can do, you know, who can play multiple positions and play them at a high enough level that you need in order to be successful. So I see that, you know, as a silver lining, if you will. I don't know who is going to win that battle. Obviously, once the pads go on, you're going to, you know, you'll be able to tell a lot better. It's hard to, you know, gauge the offensive line without the pads. But, you know, I think both guys, again, going back to the point we made before about being better run blockers, you have two guys in there who can anchor and who can block for that run.
Yes, you do. You know, when we go back to the question of is the line just different or is it better, one of the primary reasons why I believe that the line is going to be better is that I believe they're going to be better at the tackle positions. Now, we can argue Nate Solder, I think, is entering his eighth year. He's never been an All-Pro. He's never been a Pro Bowler. Some people will argue that he's mediocre, that he's overpaid. You know what? He is overpaid because he's paid as the highest paid left tackle in the league, and he's not anywhere near the best left tackle in the league. But that's free agency. That's what happens, you know, when you are the only, you know, big time quality left tackle on the market. and you find a team like the Giants with a need is you get overpaid. But when I look at the situation, I think Solder, great player or not, is a better left tackle than Eric Flowers was. And concerns about the transition to the right side and his technique and all of that aside, other than maybe the handful of games that Justin Pugh played at right tackle last year, Eric Flowers is better than anything the Giants used at right tackle last year. So they've upgraded those two spots on the edges, which are critical spots, you know, when we talk about, especially talk about the pass protection. So that is really, you know, why I think at least this starting five, why I'm optimistic that that group is going to be better. Plus, I just love what Solder brings in the locker room and off the field in terms of leadership. I know you interviewed him extensively for The Athletic. He's a type of guy as a veteran leader, as a guy who's a multi-time Super Bowl champion with a winning pedigree, guy who's a team-first kind of player. He's a veteran leader who's won before, and this team hasn't had a player like that since Chris Snee and Dave Deal retired 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, sometimes you don't need to staff a bunch of all-pro guys. You just need guys who are solid and who can get the job done. And Nate Solder certainly has proven over the course of his career that he's a solid, consistent player and that he can get the job done. I mean, it might not always be pretty. It might not be, you know, of the Andrew Whitworth variety, but it, you know, at the end of the day, is his quarterback standing? You know, is he keeping the defenders away from Eli Manning? That's really all that matters. You know, you can take the Pro Bowl and all pro honors. You know, they're nice to have, but if the guy's getting the job done, that's what matters the most. Ed, let's talk about the depth now. You know, I touched upon it a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the depth. I think this year, even though, you know, they still need to sort out, you know, the rest of the depth, I think the prospects they have this year is probably one of the strongest groups. Again, based on just the spring, I haven't seen them in pads yet, but just based on what we saw in the spring and how they were deployed, I think this is a much stronger group than they've had in recent years. Your thoughts?
Well, when I look at the depth, Patty, the one thing that I do like is that you have players who have played before. I do have a concern at offensive tackle where when I look at it, the only player they have as an offensive tackle who I look at and think, you know, can be a swing tackle is Chad Wheeler, you know, who played a little bit on both sides last year. I would say that if I have a concern in terms of depth, you know, the veteran swing tackle would be it. You know, it wouldn't surprise me or it wouldn't bother me at all if, you know, during training camp or toward the end of the preseason, if the Giants went out and found a veteran swing tackle. But when you look at the guard and center positions, I think they're well stocked there no matter which guys they keep. They have collected, you know, several players beyond Will Hernandez and Patrick Omame, you know, and Brett Jones and John Jalapio, who have significant NFL experience. You still have John Jerry, who I know people love to trash, and, you know, I don't think a lot of Giants fans would be sad if they moved on from John Jerry, but he's an experienced player, played a lot in the NFL. You have John Greco, who's a 10 or 11-year veteran, been a good player for a long time. They brought in Chris Scott, who did the who was a reserve in Carolina for quite a while and played quite a bit of football. They signed another veteran guard who played with the Minnesota Vikings for 2 or 3 years just the other day. I think his name is Zach Karen. So I think they have some experienced depth, you know, guys who have played before, guys who know what they're doing. And that, to me, is critical because you're asking these guys to step in at a moment's notice, sometimes in the middle of games, you know, and help a team. And, you know, when guys walk out on the field and they're a deer in the headlights and they're, oh, my God, I'm in an NFL game and I never did this before, you know, that's not a good thing. So I think they're well stocked on the inside in terms of depth. I'm a little bit worried about the fact that, you know, I like Chad Wheeler as a player. We'll see how much he's developed from last year. But that's the one area depth-wise that where I would feel better is if they had a veteran swing tackle who'd had some success in the league.
And they might still add one yet. I mean, a lot's going to depend on, you know, how these guys do in the preseason. And also, you're going to have roster cuts. And I got to believe that Dave Gettleman and the rest of the Giants pro personnel staff, they're going to be looking at that waiver wire constantly to where if they see somebody shake loose, they're going to, you know, pounce on him and bring him in. So with that said, there's also a young prospect that kind of caught my eye. Now, I don't think he's going to be ready for the 53-man roster this year. Maybe he's a practice squad player at this point. Still need to see a little bit more. But I was intrigued by Nick Gates, who I believe is an undrafted free agent out of Nebraska. This is a kid who, you know, right now I think needs to add a little bulk, which is usually the case with these college offensive linemen. And is a kid who I think they're going to train to do guard and tackle. So he was somebody who kind of, you know, caught my eye during the spring workouts, during the going back to the rookie mini camp, as a potential, you know, swing guy at offensive tackle. You know, on the interior, I absolutely was like fascinated by Evan Brown, who you know, the undrafted free agent center. His skill set, I mean, he kept jumping out at me, and I was just amazed at how smooth and how quick he was, especially with the hand punch. And I know, again, they're going to train him to do some guard work. You know, he hadn't really done that in college. So I just think overall I have a better feeling, I should say, for what the Giants have as far as depth. And, you know, yes, there are some questions, there are concerns, but I just think the arrow is going in the right direction.
I would agree, Patty. I'm optimistic about this offensive line, as I said. I think if it stays healthy, I think there's talent there. I think Will Hernandez is a guy who is, if we see, you know, in the fall, you know, what we saw in the spring, I think this is a kid who could wind up being a terrific player, huge addition to the Giants in the run game, just attitude-wise. You love the professionalism that Solder and Omame bring. You know, they're both solid veteran guys who know what they're doing. As you said, I think the arrow is pointed in the right direction. I think Dave Gettleman spent a lot of time, put a lot of effort and energy into fixing this offensive line. You know, there's still question marks. We'll have to see how that all works out. But I do feel optimistic that this line should be an improvement, you know, over what we've seen from the Giants the past couple of years.
I agree, Ed. We'll find out 10 days from, well, actually it'll be 9 days. It's coming soon. The pads will go on probably, I believe, 3 days once they open up camp with the full team. And certainly the offensive line will be a focal point of what we watch, not just in practice, but also in the preseason game.
And let's just hope Will Hernandez doesn't hurt anybody once the pads come on.
Oh, I'm telling you, that kid, I love him. He reminds me of a young Rich Seibert. You know, Richie, I remember those fights that Richie used to get into with Keith Hamilton. They were classics.
Yeah, I don't think we would have considered it a classic though if Snacks had managed to hit Will Hernandez with that helmet, you know, during the mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, well, thank goodness nobody got seriously hurt there, because that would not have been good. So, all right, Ed, on that note, we will wrap up this show. Giant fans, we want to thank you, as always, for tuning in to listen. Stay tuned. We will have more position previews coming your way as we count down to camp. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.